Welcome to Words of Light for Today, a teaching ministry that shares godly principles while giving spiritual insight and divine revelation from the Word of God for the everydayness life brings. Be richly blessed as we join Linda Atkins.
Jeremiah 13. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Are the leper his spots? Then may we also do good that are accustomed to doing evil. Therefore, I will scatter them as the stubble that pass away by the wind of the wilderness. Can the leper change his spots? Can the Ethiopian change his skin? And can a man that has been habited to do an evil change to do good? Now you see, the power of habit is a whole series of consequences in our life. I said that before, but we're going to conclude this today on habit. And the more you do something, the more something is done, oh my goodness, the more it begins to take grip and hold in your life. Habit. And so Jeremiah is saying, can you change this? So we have seen that habit works. There is the acquisition of habit. There is the power of habit. There is the hallowing of habit. We've studied these all. And now we're at the end of it, the change of habit. Now, according to Jeremiah, he says, can anything be done after years of habit, after all of this time, habit has bent our natures into one shape. And that shape, listen, is deformed. We are helpless. We are helpless. Our character is helpless because it's been made crooked by habits. And some people's habits are very perverse. So, is there no hope then, he's saying, for the Ethiopian or the leopard? It's next to impossible for the changes to come. It's next to impossible. It's impossible to change. My goodness. Now, when a man has arrived at a mature age, he is already what he is. And I'm talking about mankind. When mankind, man or woman, when he reaches a mature age, to turn his course away from what he has done on a consistent basis, can that be changed? Jeremiah said he didn't know. Said, how can this happen? How can a leopard change his spots? When those spots go all the way into the leopard, the irresistible force the practice on a daily basis becomes an irresistible force that carves out exactly what we are. Once you reach a mature age, the thing that we have long indulged in, the temper of our personality, the temper of our nature, there is not enough power in you to change it. There's not enough power. There's no inward change that can come. No power at work for us beyond a mere trying to turn over a new leaf. And turning over a new leaf is not how it's done. You only come to a place of like a human resolution. I make this resolution. I'm going to do so and so and so and so. But your habit, your daily habit, will keep you from doing that. Oh, my word. So, how then do we change? How then do we come to a place where we know that what we have, the habits that we have maintained for all this time, how do we know that that can ever change? You know, I'm so set in my ways. That's why a lot of people don't get married. It's because they're so set in what they are and what they do, you know. They don't get married because they don't want to be bothered with someone else. I've talked to a lot of people and they've said to me, oh, that's, you know, that I'm not going to do that. But here's the thing. What's impossible with man is not with God. He created the Ethiopian. He created the leper. He created that. He created them. And they can't change it, but he can change it. We can't change ourselves. We try to change ourselves. We try to make up our mind, and we try to get our attitude straight. We try to make our heart love, and it can only do so much because it's broken. It's broken in there. Your thinking, your perception, your idea of life and how it affects you. It's broken in there, and it needs to be fixed, and we have no power to do it. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Now, don't leave the room on me, okay? Listen to this part. It's important to you. So, a change comes in our perception and in our faculties. A new situation has to be introduced over those long years of habit. We have to come to a place with God that we discover a whole new world, a whole new way of living, a whole new way of thinking and feeling and seeing. When your perception is not healed, you have a constant looking to yourself and seeing for yourself only. Your perception is for self-preservation. They said that to me deliberately. They hurt me deliberately. They're trying to outdo me. They're trying to do this or that. You see, your perception, every time you deal with people, your perception is what either makes your relationship good or turned. And we can't come to a place where we see it any other way until our perception is healed. We perceive things wrongly. Because if you listen to your mind lies. Your mind is like a computer. What's in it is what's going to come out of it. Your mind is not where the government of yourself is supposed to be. Well, you know, your mind is brilliant. No. Your heart and spirit and soul is brilliant. But your mind is just to follow through. Your mind is to hold what you know from your spirit. And when you have a new spirit by the new birth, your mind then needs to be saved along with your soul. You need to make your mind understand who's in charge. Because your mind has a voice. It will say this and that and the other. And you think that because you thought it, it has to be true. But if most of your thoughts come from your perception, they're wrong. Please listen. Now, once we come to a place where we are linked in union with Christ Jesus, He breaks those horrible chains of habit. He breaks them because they are connected to the past. And you can't move forward with Christ holding on and being bound by the chains of past. Now, how does He break them? How does He break those? Let me tell you how He breaks them. He breaks them with the great power and act, listen, of forgiveness. When we come to the saving knowledge of Christ, He breaks every chain with the powerful act of forgiveness. Now see, we have to continue in Him so that we won't allow those chains to be put back together. Oh my goodness. You see, Jesus' solution is that He roots out, if we stay with Him, He will root out every wrong action, every wrong habit that's been implanted in us, and He will replant, listen, the germ of every virtuous deed. Because virtuous is how He wants us to be. Virtuous. Virtuous. He wants us to be virtuous. And He's got to uproot all that that's in there. And see, we have to be still. So what He does, He puts germ in there. He takes something that He wants to germinate down on the inside of you. And His solution, listen to me, His solution for us is not reformation. It's not that. His thing for us is regeneration. It's not reformation. Listen, reformation is trying to solve something and make it work. You're trying to reform it. And He regenerates it. And when you regenerate something, you recreate it. He doesn't want us to be reformed. Well, I'm a reformed alcoholic. or I'm a reformed dope addict. He don't want you reformed. Reformation won't go far enough. You got to be regenerated. All of that's got to be uprooted. How do you change your habit from being evil to trying to do something good? Is that possible, Jeremiah says? Is that even possible for a man that's done evil all of his life? And I mean, you can follow Jeremiah right on through. And he said, you did this when you was a kid. From your youth up, you've been wicked. From your youth up, you push God out of the way. Wow. Now he's saying, I want regeneration for you. Regeneration reforms and recreates. Everything on the inside of us that is dead, he brings to life. Salvation brings us from death to life and from darkness to light. Oh my God. And then regeneration changes and forms again and creates again everything that is not like him. And every time you go back to your old habits, he'll bring you back and start working on you again. You don't get it all in one night. It takes a lifetime. You took the lifetime that you had and got to where you were, which is wicked. See, there's only two people, wicked and righteous. Alive and dead. Dark and light. My God. So he regenerates us. There's regeneration. There's creation again on the inside of us. It's called new birth. So he doesn't give us a solution of reformation. He doesn't do that. He recreates us. He recreates that hate that's been in our heart against them. He recreates and reforms that tendency to say, I'm not ever going to make it. When he gets through with us and the germination of what he's put into us, his word, the seed of his word begins to spring up in there, you realize for the first time in your life, you will make it. You will come forth. You will do. And you see, then you have, because of his working on the inside of us, you have an ardent love and a gratitude and a veneration, which is a deep respect. You have a deep respect. You have a veneration for Jesus, and it kindles all kind of change on the inside of you. It snaps. Listen to me. It snaps the chains of habit. My God. To reform something is just to try to improve it. When you reform something, you just want to improve it. Well, we can get the kinks out. Well, we will reform this so that it will fit what we want to do. That's how people use the word reform. Well, we will do everything we can do to change our own behavior and habits. Can't be. If a leopard can't change his spots and an Ethiopian can't change his skin, then how can you do good that are accustomed, another translation says, are habited to doing evil? Ain't nothing you can do. Well, we're going to reform this so that our behavior and habit will change. We're going to improve it. God does more. He regenerates. He changes. He don't want us improved. He wants us changed. Amen. You don't want to improve what you got. All you're going to do is be an improved, educated sinner. That's all you're going to be. That's what you have when you try to reform. But when you allow His regeneration to come down deep into you, then He recreates your whole system. Where heart grew, where hate grew in your heart, love is now there. But you have to use the love so that the love can grow. And you have to start, if you want love to grow in your heart and you want to feel different about those people in your, even in your own family, you're going to have to say to Him, not to them, but say to Him, I've hated them and I want you to know that. I'm saying it out loud to you. So I can't get by with that anymore. See, if you say it out loud, you're done. Because whether you say it out loud, He knows it. But then you know it if you say it out loud. I have really hated them, but I appreciate you giving me this regeneration by the power of your holiness. And I appreciate you changing me because I forgive them for whatever it was. I can't even remember what they did, but I'm forgiving them so I won't hate them anymore. I thank you for moving that hatred. See, He'll uproot all that. I don't have no use for them. Oh, I don't hate anybody. Well, you don't have no use for them. And when you don't have no use for nobody, listen to me, you can't even be nice to them. If you speak, you're just curt. Hey there. Hey. And you keep right on trucking. You don't have any use for them. And you know what? I'm standing over here watching them and watching you, and I can tell you ain't got a bit of use for them. Why can I tell that? Because I know people. I've been studying people for all these years. All these years. And God is only in the people business. But He's in the business of people that will allow the regeneration of the new birth to change every single thing, recreate, reform everything in us, and cut those chains of habit that has bound us. The habit of they don't like me. The habit of being rejected, the habit of seeing things in a way that most times it's proven not to be true. You see, and when we get motivated by this new habit, this new change, this new motive down on the inside of us, then everything, like Paul says, the love of Christ constrains me. That means controls me. The love of Christ. The love of Christ. Listen, the love of God and the love of Christ is two different things. Listen to me. The love of God is so I can love you. The love of Christ is I know He loves me. The love of Christ is for me. The love of Christ constrains me. It doesn't constrain you. The love of Christ in me don't constrain you. It constrains me. So the love of Christ is for me. And every time you see in the New Testament the love of Christ, look it up, you're going to see how it's helping you. The love of God in me helps me love you and care for you and help you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. How wonderful. How utterly wonderful is that? So you see, as a man loves, listen to me, As a man loves, so is his life. Do you love? Are you willing to let that regeneration change you, even when you're in the habit of staying away from them? See, this new love that follows in on that regeneration is a new mighty motive, listen, to obey. It's a motive to obey. And here's the thing. The essential of our life in Christ Jesus is obedience. Obedience is the essential thing in our spirit. And earth is the school and the discipline while we're here that makes us ready for heaven. The majority of us aren't ready to live in heaven. Well, I'd like to go there. Well, you'd be very disappointed going like you are. So he's left us here on the earth so that the things of the earth, the preachers, the teachers, the prophets that he has established for his church, so that the things here can discipline and school us, so when we get there, we'll be home. Have you ever been somewhere you knew you wasn't home? Habits change, life change. Everything changed. Things that are impossible with man is not with God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The power of habit, when I go through the new birth and receive his regeneration, is changed forever.
You have been watching Words of Light for Today with Linda Adkins. For prayer or a free CD of today's message, please call 904-289-9727. Visit our website at wordsoflight.org, where you may order explosive and anointed teaching messages or other great resources from our bookstore. Be blessed and join Linda Adkins next time as she brings Words of Light for Today.